Miss Dunkelman?
Miss Vasami?
You look fine.
Oh, I do.
Yes, we nailed it.
We did it.
Welcome to the first episode of The Touch Base, HBO's official podcast for The Nevers. This podcast is a fan-driven journey through The Nevers, where we are learning about the world, about the characters, essentially right alongside you guys, the audience. We're watching it with you. We are you. We yes. are you. You are we. Everything. We have no idea what's coming. We have no idea what's ahead, but we're very excited to find out. As we mentioned, we are your hosts. I am Barbara Dunkelman.
And I'm Jessica Vasami.
And not only do you get us two, you get a little extra today. We got our friend Kayla Milton, the fabulous Kayla Milton, joining us today. Hello, Kayla.
Hello. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
I like this move. So excited to be here.
We're excited to have you, Kayla.
Yeah, I'm ready. I've been ready. I've been ready for this for a while. I am so, dude.
Oh, yeah, same here. Watching the teaser, watching the trailer.
Yeah.
The teaser was definitely a teaser, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Especially compared to the trailer. And then especially when I was watching episode one, I had to like pause because I was like, so much was happening and it was so good.
There was. I watched it twice just to be like, did I retain everything
that
they just dropped on us?
It is just the juiciest steak of an episode that we're
going to get fully
into. We're going to cut open to it. There's going to be all the juices running down the plate. I'm going to equate everything to food on this show.
No, please do. Well, I'm so hungry. I would love that.
All right. So we're in London, the year 1896. Yes. I love this time period already. I love London. I want to be here. I want to experience this all.
I don't know if I would wear a corset, though, but I would try, just so you know.
I don't know. Absolutely. There's something about like, okay, I feel like especially like having been working from home for a year, I should be wearing a corset every day because the way I find myself hunched over my computer like a little goblin, if I had a corset, my spine, like I would be like, every day I'm just like, oh, why does my back hurt? I'm so young. I shouldn't be feeling like this. And then it's just like wide shot of me at my computer like this.
Just like a goblin. Like,
yeah. And then like, if I had a corset.
Us, you know, in this time period, we would want our powers to be good posture.
And like, yes. That would
be, just give me good posture. That's all I need to be blessed with, please. So obviously, we all, before episode one, we saw the teaser, we saw the trailer. Our appetites were whet for the show.
Yes.
I gotta ask right off the bat, were your expectations high? Were they met? Were they exceeded? Because mine were like overly exceeded beyond anything I would have expected. Fully.
Absolutely. Like, after it cut to black, I looked at my partner and was like, and I'm hooked. Let's go. Let's go down this rabbit hole. Yes.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, let's start getting into the nitty gritty of it. Okay. All the first things. So when it starts off, we see all these people in this town looking up at the sky. Mm-hmm. And this big event happens. We don't really know what's going on. And then it cuts to 3 years later, where we're introduced to Amalia. Well, we're kind of introduced to her before, where we see her jump into the water and then wake up, which to me, I was just like, is she foreseeing her death? Like, what is going on here? That moment like really shook me.
What's kind of interesting, and I only noticed this after I watched it the second time, but I noticed that in that beginning scene, it's like, you know, their turns essentially are kind of snippets of what was going on in their life previously.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did you guys pick up on that? And I only recognized that the second time I watched it, when, like, in that beginning scene.
Yeah, because the first time it just seemed like completely random. It was just like, oh, this woman's like getting water and this woman's jumping into water. And then like, yeah, having gone through that second watch back, I was like, ooh, illusions.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's what's interesting is like Amalia, in that first scene, we don't really... She's jumping in the water. And then, like, even when they're getting ready, even after, you know, we see the title sequence and they're just getting ready before their day, they're all kind of doing their things that they kind of have turns for, except for Amalia. She's just, like, getting ready for the day and just, like, putting clothes on and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Her character is very interesting to me because there's a lot of, at least for me, mysteriousness about her.
Yeah.
Oh, fully.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel like every other scene that she's like, I feel like everyone else off bat, you can kind of like suss out their character, get a feel for them. And hers is just like, okay, so she's like getting these girls and she's like clearly like cares about them. But then it's also like she's a ninja. But also like,
yeah, I know. Like, I wonder if she had those fighting skills before they were touched, or if that came with the power. Like, there's so many questions about her, but she is definitely a badass. I'm in love with her. I'm just gonna express my love right now.
Yeah, I'm obsessed with her. And like, my theory is that I keep bringing this up when we were talking about the teaser and the trailer, is that I really believe that she is like the suffragette jutsu person, like the suffragettes when they were like trying to get, you know, the right to vote or whatever. They would learn, they all learned jujitsu together so that they could like fight the cops who were trying to arrest them while they were protesting. And I feel like she's definitely got that vibe.
That's, you know, that's a great theory for sure.
I love this, like, this feeling that both Amalia and Penance have of being like very kind of like big sister motherly figures to the rest of these people who've been touched, which we get to. I think they're all living in a kind of like an orphanage situation. Kind of taking care of each other. And we obviously learn very early on in the episode too that there are people hunting these girls or trying to like steal them or capture them or abduct them in some way. They're definitely evil. Like that mask those guys were wearing was probably the most like terrifying villain face I've ever seen.
I completely agree with that. Out of lots of different villain faces I've seen throughout my 32 years of watching movies, that face is terrifying.
There's a scene where I think one of them like drew the face and they cut to it.
I think it was Myrtle,
And I just went, like, when it, like, because it just, like, popped up on screen, like, just the drawing.
I was watching the show with my boyfriend, Trevor, and when you first see the guy with that a mask or, like, it almost looked like a stocking pulled over his face.
Yeah.
My or face skin. Was like this.
Ooh.
Yeah. I didn't know if it was, like, melted skin or something. Oh, God. Yeah. It was so unnerving.
It kind of looked like a... Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, I was going to say something dumb. It's just, it kind of looks like... I don't know if when you were kids, you guys made... Do you ever make, like, starch ghosts for Halloween? It looked like that. Where you take, like, a thin piece of cloth, you soak it in liquid starch, put it over a balloon to give it a ghost shape. That's what it looks like they did. Just, like, put a piece of, like, starch-soaked cloth over their faces and just, like... Froze
well, now
there.
I'm gonna do this, Kayla. Thank you.
I'll basically be seeing that every time I close my eyes for the next week and a half.
As much as I do love Amalia, Penance is such a bad A. She is incredible.
Oh, I love her.
And her prototype. What is it called?
The car. I love how, too, they're just driving through the town, and it's like, nobody's looking, they're just going through, and I'm like, I'd be like, whoa, that's so cool!
Yeah, like, the first time you ever saw a car, I would lose my mind. Like,
yeah, although they're probably so used to it at that point, right? They're like, that's just Penance with another one of her crazy adventures.
That's fair. They are 3 years into Penance, probably doing crazy, bonkers, cuckoo banana stuff all around town.
Yeah, I love how, too, like, near the end, because we know that they have powers, but we don't really... Yeah. fully understand what they are, but at the very end they kind of say that Penance sees energy, which I think is such a cool way to take on that kind of
because... made me think of like Albert Einstein. I'm like, is that what happened to him? Like, did he see energy? Did Albert Einstein have a turn? I don't know. I was just like, because I was like, that, honestly, that's an incredible turn to have, is seeing energy and in knowing how to manipulate it to invent things for the future and for now. I mean, like, that is incredible. And can I just say, when the prototype vehicle did kind of escape from the carriage and they were just like driving through the streets, I felt myself just as a woman for so proud of her. I was like, you go, girl, you did this. I don't know, I was just like so excited for like that moment between her and Amalia just giving each other the looks like, you did it.
I wanted to transition out of the carriage with those like bandanas or like the headscarves and the sunglasses.
Yep.
I know that's not the time period, but I feel like that would have been such a like bad B moment. I would have loved it.
Also just the little girl, they're just like, so I think it'd be best if you lived with us, like,
yeah, yeah, like, yeah.
Myrtle's like, cool, or whatever cool is in any other language.
I know.
Her thing is so cool where she, is it, does she have control over the languages she's speaking, or is it just random?
I don't think so, because it I heard it in one, because like she did like half of a sentence in German, and then the second half wasn't in German because I couldn't understand it. So I was like, oh, this is like, she's truly jumping around this language. And I'm like, first of all, talented actress, if she's like doing that, like, oh my god. But also,
dude, I was thinking that too. I was like, she has to learn these lines and all that.
Yeah, absolutely. How fun though. It'd be like, hey, you have to learn, you know, these languages, so now you're fluent. Not fluent, but hey, you know some stuff in these languages. That's pretty cool.
Did you guys see, did you guys think, okay, I was thrown when the girl was big. Did you catch that before it happened or no?
When the girl was what?
Primrose, when she stood up. I did not. Because, like, okay, there was, like, three lines, again, on my second watch where they alluded to her being large, like, leading up to her standing. And I the woman's like, oh, she thinks she's too big for a spanking. But I thought it just meant, like, she's 11 or whatever.
Too old, yeah.
But the reveal and her big bed, it's so cute.
I know.
It was. I know.
In my notes, I just wrote Primrose Big, all in capital.
Yeah, I wrote Myrtle, multilingual, Primrose, big girl.
Big girl.
But what's so cool is, like, I feel like nobody would want to mess with her, you know? It's just like, yeah, you want to come for me? Yeah, you want to try and catch me? Or I don't know. But she's just, she's like, I can squash you with my foot. Yeah. That's an awesome turn also.
She won't, because she's a lady.
She's a lady.
I mean,
she's Primrose. You can't be violent with a name like Primrose.
But what about, the Mary Brighton's power, her singing,
that revealed, first of all, so many cool things that I had speculated during the show. One of which, Augustus being touched, which we had speculations over because they were talking about how he felt like the crows were sad. Was that what he was saying?
He did. He said they're unhappy.
Unhappy. I think you can hear them. I was just like, oh, maybe... is he touched? Like, is that something? Or is he just being very observant? Like, who knows? Maybe he's a sensitive guy.
Yeah.
But then with Mary Brighton's power, I think we realize that when she sings, it either controls or, like, freezes people who are also touched. Yeah.
But the fire-throwing woman shows up more. I love her.
I think she will. I think she's a part of... It seems like they're, like, the squad of Malady to some extent. Yeah. Like, they're... So, you know, you think about, like, the villains in the show. It's like, Malady, I guess so far, we're still trying to, like, figure her out. But then there's, you know, the Masked Men. I don't know. And maybe somehow, I'm like, are they working together? I don't know. I'm excited. I don't know. These are just my thoughts, it's going a million miles an hour.
There's also, like, a power issue, power dynamic going on, too, because that council that was meeting... was saying that this only touched mostly women and no one in essentially a position of power.
Yeah.
And so
no men of great stature.
Men of stature.
Were afflicted. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's a very interesting.
Yeah. Although going back, the doctor guy who said that he keeps it to himself. Yes, that he doesn't want to.
I love him.
He's great. That he doesn't want to be like accused of like hoodoo magic. Or being like a hoodoo witch doctor. And then that's where I was like, okay, so when that guy was saying like it'll embolden like the women and the immigrants, I'm like, oh, is it also going to like again non men of stature in the time? Like, so I'm just like, this opens up a whole new thing. So maybe that dude with the Gatling gun arm just woke up with a Gatling gun arm that day and nobody killed it for him. Who's to say?
You're right. That's so interesting. And that's another example of like, you know, he was a doctor in the before times. I say the before times. And then, you know, now he has like this cool healing ability now that he's touched. That's so cool. Yeah, I don't know. And then also tell me if I'm crazy, okay? Did you think that I just noticed a moment, and because I just noticed flirting very easily, I guess, but like him and Amalia, they just seem to like have a moment. Am I crazy?
Yeah, and then Myrtle interrupted it.
Yes, okay. okay, because I was like, are they maybe I don't know. I'm curious to see whatever that happens, or I could just be completely wrong.
Yeah.
Down with it, though.
I ship it. I'm into
it. Me too. I was like, I'm down with that.
And then
for
I also
sure.
ship Penance and Amalia. So,
oh,
you know,
fully. When she grabbed 100%. Her hand to calm her down, my heart fluttered.
Yes. Oh my God.
Fluttered.
a beautiful relationship all around.
Heartbeat yeah. skipped.
All right. Well, we already talked about how much we love these characters, Penance and Amalia. We got the opportunity to actually sit down with Laura Donnelly and Anne Skelly, the wonderful women that play these two characters, to talk about the show. So we're going to dive into that right now. Hello, everyone. We have a very special treat for you. We are joined by the incredible Laura Donnelly, who plays Amalia True.
Hi!
And Anne Skelly, who plays Penance Adair. Woo!
Woo!
Hi!
I'm excited! Yes! How are you guys?
Really well, thank you. Really quite scared of this technology. Terrified of just constantly either talking over somebody or not talking at all. But we'll just have to wing it.
Yeah, if any of my jokes land, we all know it's just the lag. It's not because it's any problem of mine.
100%. Yeah. Yep, I've been using right. that excuse all year too, so don't worry. Yeah. I'm right there with you. Well, we really appreciate you guys being here today with us. It is so cool to get to talk to you in person. Well, kind of in person as we could get during these times, of course. Mm-hmm. Jessica and I just watched the first episode, and we are immediately in love with this show and your characters as well. Just right off the bat, I'm like, these are favorite characters. No one else could compare. I don't care who else shows up at any point in time. This is it.
I would say your heart shall extend to furthermore, folks.
Oh, I'm excited. Okay.
Well, let's get into some questions that we have for you guys. Of course, we love the characters Amalia and Penance. OTP, mm-hmm. wonderful, beautiful characters. But for you guys particularly, what made you fall in love with these characters and made you want to play them?
For me, it was... was the complexity of Amalia. I mean, it became clear even just through early conversations before I'd even read a script that she just has so many layers. And, you know, my job then once I started reading the scripts was just to peel those back and to try and decide what of those to show, what to hold back, what Amalia is even aware of herself, what's subconscious to her, what does she show other people, what is she not? And there's just, you know, there's so much to be drawn out of her and her backstory, which you do find out about as the six episodes go on.
I really loved Penance's, like, lightness. I love how she approaches every situation with, you know, kind of some hope and some optimism, and how contagious that can sometimes be. And I love when the interaction between Amalia and Penance and what they bring out of each other, whether it's like a slight balancing act of one being slightly more serious or intense in one moment and the other one brings the levity. And that I really quite like that. And yeah, just seeing what they bring out in each other.
Yeah, I was going to say, you guys balance each other out very well.
I mean, the writing is definitely key there. We didn't have... You know, when we started filming, we barely knew each other. We'd never met before. We met for the chemistry read for these roles. And so, you know, at the beginning, whatever we are showing as friendship was something that was just in the writing. I think it's so beautifully put there. It's like has a real understanding of what a true kind of supportive female friendship is like. And then we just kind of developed that very quickly ourselves as well, personally, and the whole thing kind of melded together.
Yeah, and you know, of course we got, you know, your two characters together, but there is such an incredible ensemble cast in the show, mm-hmm. full of just these intriguing characters that me and Jess are still learning about, of course. But what's it like being part of this incredible ensemble that you guys are with?
It has been amazing. I mean, I don't think that I've ever worked long-term on a show with a cast that's this strong. I mean, I really do think that every single person is just amazing. And some of whom I knew of their work beforehand and was a real admirer of so many of them. And then some are kind of brand new to the game. You know, there's a lot of young women, very young women in this, and who are in mm-hmm. kind of their first or second jobs, you know, and everybody is just brilliant. And it's so refreshing to be playing like a scene full of multiple characters where nobody's dropping the ball. It's like, you know, that you can just trust everybody. If, you know, whatever your delivery is going to be, you know that you're going to get the truth back from them. And so professionally speaking, that's such a joy. And then on top of that, you know, we've become very close as a cast. We all really, really genuinely get along so well. And because of the protracted nature of our shooting schedule and that it's taken almost 2 years to get these six episodes out, you know, we've had so much longer to get to know each other than we normally would for a six episode season of something. And yeah, we've formed real friendships in that time. It's felt like a real adventure.
One thing I love about our show is that, it just, Laura made me think of it there, is how we have such big names on it and incredible and established actors, TV actors, you know, like Nick Frost and Olivia Williams and James Norton and everyone like this. But there's also like the people who've never done TV before. You know, we've got like Brett Curtis and Vinnie Haven. And like, I think these are one of their first TV jobs. And the fact that the show can, you know, it's genuinely, it's not looking for just the biggest names it can find. It's really putting the best people in the each job, if that makes sense. It's really, really, I think, dedicated to making really good quality and fully rounded out characters.
No, I loved the fresh blood that came in, like you're talking about, some of the actors that haven't, you know, been in some other stuff. I was like going through IMDb and I was like, I love it. You know, there's some fresh faces, and you don't have to be in a million shows to be an amazing, awesome actor to portray these incredible characters. So it was fascinating watching them.
So much of that has come down to our casting director as well, Nina Gold. Like when Nina is casting something, you pay attention. You know, if Nina calls me up for anything, then I'm going to go in for it, because whatever she's casting is always amazing. She has an incredible eye for scripts, and she's got an incredible imagination when it comes to actors and putting together ensembles. So, you know, she knows what will work.
Did the show keep you on your toes? Like, was it surprising to work on it as much to watch it?
Nothing was ever kept from us plot-wise. You could kind of, any question you asked got answered. But I think for so many of us, the concentration on our own role was enough, because, you know, there's always so much going on for each character that, and it's such a huge world that a lot of the time I wouldn't even be finding out what was going on in other people's storylines as much, because there was so much to concentrate on my own. So to get to find out at like a later stage, especially when watching them, what everybody was up to on the days that I wasn't in, was just incredible. And you know, and I think that like that constantly brought up surprises everywhere. And yeah, oh gosh, it's such a thrill to be part of it, especially as well whenever anything might change up, or a lot of the time things could end up being better than you'd even expected them to be in your own head, because I'm not a producer, I'm not a creator. So, you know, when I read it on the page, I don't necessarily have the same levels in mind that the show has. And so often when you work on TV, what comes out of the page, in fact, on the screen, ends up slightly disappointing in comparison to what you had in your head. Whereas with this, it's just a million times better than I could have imagined in every single way.
And for example, like Laura, you never like watching yourself and things, right? And you actually love watching this.
Yeah, totally. I've broken the habit of a lifetime.
So I think that speaks to it as well. Like myself, I think I've watched the past four episodes maybe three times, and not just for vanity's sake either, but just because it's so exciting. Like I keep rewatching it, and there's so many more details I just keep picking up on that I never noticed before. I just think the show is so surprising even after you've watched it, if that can make sense.
That's so cool. Well, we have a little fun segment we want to play with you guys. If you guys are down, it's called Pick Your Power. And we're just going to ask you some cute questions.
So cute.
it's really cute questions. But basically, you know, you guys both have amazing turns in the show. But if you had a turn in real life, what would it be?
My turn. Laura, I think that you actually have this power I'd kind of want to photograph the memory a bit.
That's a good one.
Or to travel back in time to ancient history. I want to meet Cleopatra.
Time travel would be such a fun one.
I think my turn would be to be able to mute people who are making annoying noises near me.
Oh my gosh, Laura, I identify with that so much. With my boyfriend, I had to, we've been dating for 6 years, and I think from like day one to now, I have to tell him, you need to close your mouth when you eat food. And he just, mm-hmm. It drives me through a wall. I would love to mute him every time.
That clearly shows a remarkable level of understanding on your part, or a deep, deep love unknown to the rest of humanity, because he would be out the door if it was me.
That's great.
Which is so funny, because there's people with the opposite. Like, there are these videos of people just eating food on YouTube that people just watch hours of.
That
which
is,
I think,
sick.
The complete opposite.
That should be arrestable. That's, yeah. That's sick, sick behavior.
That's horrific.
Would you rather be able to walk on water or control fire?
Walk on water, because I do have a fear of the ocean and what's inside, and also things that lurk just generally in large bodies of water. It can never be good. Yeah, and I don't like any of that.
I agree with that. Yeah, I agree with that. No, I 100% agree.
I would go for the water as well, but I think because there's more to be gained from that. I don't think you can gain a lot from controlling fire, other than if you're in a house fire. I mean, that'd be quite handy then, but that's the only time. Whereas walking on water, if I was prepared for a long walk, I could just go home to Ireland anytime I wanted, and you know, could walk to America if I had a few days off.
It'd probably be a very scenic walk too. It'd be beautiful.
It'd be amazing, wouldn't it? It'd be really incredible.
Well, thank you guys so much for playing along with us. That was super fun. And even just being here chatting with us, it was such a pleasure to get to talk to you guys and to learn about this show and these characters. And we're just so excited to watch more of The Nevers. Is there anything that you guys want to share with the fans as they begin this journey with everyone?
I would love to let everybody know that this is, albeit only half of our first season, at the same time, luck would have it that it was a very good place to first half, and that all of the questions and all of the things that you want to have the answers to, and those answers will come your way by the end of this first half of season. It will not be an unsatisfying watch.
This is good to know. I'm so excited. Anne?
I would like everyone listening to know that I think Laura is really good on this. She's so she does so much stuff. It's so stressful. Whenever I watch the show and she's Amalia True is off on her own adventure, I get really stressed and I'm like, oh, okay, so that's what she's been doing the whole time. I kind of want to put like one of those little leads, like, you know, those harnesses that people put on their children so they don't run off. But on when we're filming. And also exactly what Laura said as well.
You guys, this was so awesome. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. That was fun.
We are so excited to see what Amalia and Penance get into next. I mean, the fact that we've only seen the first episode, like, I cannot wait. Thank you guys so much. This was so great.
Yeah. There's going to be razzle dazzle when you're away.
Can't wait. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you. Okay, now that we are more in love with Amalia and Penance than we ever have been before, it is time to talk about the ending. You guys, that ending. Please.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
I have so many questions.
A ton of questions. And a ton of thoughts.
That ship, it shocked me.
Okay.
What do we think that ship was?
Alien.
Yeah.
It's okay, it's like, for me, I was like, the ship important, obviously. My question was it flying or was it crashing?
I thought it was flying.
Because I couldn't tell I couldn't tell if the little particles that were coming off of it touching people were like being dispersed or if it was it doing its version of going up in flames and like falling apart.
Oh,
and
interesting.
Like it becoming like it like disintegrating by crashing was what was making it come off. Like the stuff coming off of it was what was causing people to be touched.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Like
I mean,
came...
I think we definitely know that the particles touching people are what gave them these
the turns,
powers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. I wonder if we're ever... Well, when I first saw like the clouds part and it came through, it was just... I feel like my jaw dropped. I was like, what in... I love this. Just like immediately, just like, this is awesome.
Yes.
I was also really I had a big question of just how are these particles choosing who to go to? Because they mostly touched women and, as we said, men who are not in a position of power or stature.
Yeah.
So I'm just wondering, like, how they determined who to land on, if they determined who to land on, or if it was all happenstance, like how that came about, essentially.
Yeah, and then like we saw that scene with Masson and either his daughter, granddaughter being touched and then dying, which was weird.
But then does she come back?
Yeah, did she?
Because all of them kind of faint over, and then all of a sudden it's done, and everyone goes back to normal and forgets that happened.
Yeah, that was bonkers.
Like it was kind of like, I don't know, I couldn't tell because like everyone else seemed to recover. We saw them recover. I don't think we ever saw the girl recover.
Okay, I might have to go back and see that then.
That's true. We didn't.
Yeah. So it's like maybe that's why he's so against the turn. Or the maybe? Touched?
That wasn't Primrose, was it?
No.
Okay. I was like, maybe we don't see her recover because all of a sudden she's
huge.
Yeah. I think, you're right. It was like his daughter or granddaughter. But you're right. Like, I wonder. I'm very curious to learn about that in some of these next episodes.
Yeah.
Like, is it? Because you're right. Because it would definitely inform him as to why he's so, like, hateful. And against them so much. Did you notice that? Was Malady the only person that could remember what happened?
Yeah, because she's the one, because when she was giving the, again, another perfect drama club monologue about,
she's
like,
great.
God,
she's
like, God spoke to us and we ignored him, so I'm here to, like, take an angel when she's trying to kidnap Mary. And it's just like, she definitely remembers. Like, for whatever reason, she's the only one that remembers, because we see everyone just, like, snap back and go back to their day. The dude's like, why am I on my knees? Like,
yeah,
just
and she's
back
still
to
she's
day.
Freaking out, and she's like pointing up at the sky. Yeah. Like she remembers what happened.
Do you think other touched now though too? I don't know if they do.
I can't tell. It implied that they instantly forgot because they just went back to their everyday life, whereas Malady was still freaking out and still pointing up at the sky.
Yeah.
And it's interesting to me that all of these people we've seen who are touched. You know, we think they're good people. They're, not trying to hurt anybody. But Malady, on the other hand, is seen as kind of the big bad of the show so far.
Yeah.
So far. Did you notice her eyes? I'm wondering if there's a correlation between that.
With the red?
Yeah. The red in her eyes during that fight. Man, I don't know.
I did not like that. And the crazy masks that those men were wearing are, like, going to be in my nightmares.
Okay. So what are our lingering questions that we have for episode one? There's so many.
Lingering questions.
I want to understand Malady some more. I just want to know, like, is she, the eyes really confuse me. I want to know, like, is she bad? Is she touched? I'm very curious about her and her goals as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm very curious. We know Amalia's, like, general ability.
Yeah.
She could see into the future, kind of.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She could see glimpses. I'm really curious to find out more about, like, why she could see certain events, how, like, if there are, like, moments in time where she's like, okay, I guess I have to be here at this point in time because it's important.
Yeah.
So I'm very curious to find out, like, more in depth of what that means.
And if she can bring the powers on. When she does that touching with her fingers, I'm wondering, especially in the opera scene, Is she like trying to bring it on?
Yeah.
At first, I thought she was like counting people, maybe, to see how many people were around. But then she kept doing it. And I was like, oh, maybe it's a nervous tic, or maybe it's like trying to control that from like freaking out too much.
Yeah, the anxiety.
You know?
Yeah, because it also felt like Mibu, she gets angry. I don't know. I want to know, like, how that anxiety that she was experiences translates to her turn, because it felt like when she was anxious, she saw a feature that didn't happen. So I want to know, like, if those two things are, like, correlated. Mm-hmm. And then also, I really want to know about the ship. I want to know about the ship so bad. Oh, I want to know everything about ship.
I think that's going to be probably the biggest question we have moving forward. Well, lots of questions, but there's thankfully so much more show to go, and I, for one, am so excited to see what happens. I'm excited to talk about it with you ladies and you guys, the audience, to watch along with us. If you want more information, you could check out HBO's YouTube channel. Also, follow the Nevers on social. Tweet all your theories and questions. We're going to be right there along with you guys, and we can't wait to find out what happens. We'll see you next week.